Amen. Great. Amen. Amen. So we want to go ahead. Let's see. Would one of the Tobias? Great job, Tobias and Jeremy. May I give you the blessing bag back now? There we go. And I think we're going to let the youth and the Sunday school go. And I'm going to beg somebody, please. I'm not all together yet because I've been in 21 days quarantine. Would somebody get me some water, please, from the fourth floor in a cup and just bring it right back down here? Somebody's going to do that, right? Melrose is going to do that, right? There we go. Amen. Hang on just a minute. Let me get set. I am so very glad to be back with you. Hello to everyone. Thank you, Isaac, for blessing people. Really, really glad to be back with you all. If I have hugged you or patted you, don't be afraid. I and Amy's parents, who have just come from Canada and were sprung from detention the same day I was, we have been tested up, down, in, and out. My final test is on Tuesday, is on tomorrow. Their final test is today. And I figured out from the time that before I got on the plane in the U.S. until Tuesday, I will have been tested, PCR test, 10 times. So I'm pretty sure I'm healthy. So, but for those of you who have gone through quarantine yet, I don't know if anybody else has done 21 days yet. Oh, that's Edrilyn. But she was in a 21 days is a little bit tough. But I'm so grateful. Thank you for those of you that blessed me and brought by coffee and other goodies and things like that. And in fact, I don't want to complain because it was the hotel was very, very decent. The staff was great. They were very responsive to us. And but we were, you know, it really was a different experience for me. Thank you so much, Miss Melrose. A little bit warm? Okay, that's great. Thanks. I'm not all together yet. I've been in 21 days quarantine. So I forgot my earrings. I don't even think I have my driver's license. I don't know where my billfold is. I do have my octopus. My hair is clean. My body is washed. My teeth are brushed. That's about the best that I can say. So, but I am so glad to be out. And in fact, the hotel was very, very decent. So, but it's 21 days is a long time. So I am glad to, 14 days is a long time. So I am so, so glad to be out and to be back with all of you. And, you know, I know there are all sorts of things going on. And I'm very thankful for the things that have been put in place. But I will tell you, I'm very glad that I made the cutoff window and that I was not 7 days in Penny's Bay before going somewhere else. I think all of us from the U.S. now and other countries as well, so we're all in the same boat together. Penny's Bay is the great equalizer. We're all out there together. So glad to be back with all of you. And but you've been in great hands while I've been gone, haven't you? Yes, you have. We are so grateful for Pastor Steve and for Brother Anil, who is with us, the two who are with us and who helped to shepherd you and pastor you in the time that I was away. I was just chatting with Pastor Steve last night. He just made it back to the U.S., to New York, just getting there to be with family. And, you know, I don't know if he mentioned it to you or not, but when he comes back from this most recent trip, which will be after Christmas, he will then go into his third 21-day quarantine. So he's pretty tough. His mom also passed away earlier this year and then had some other things as well. So we can make it with God's help, but it's not the easiest thing, and so we're so glad to be here. And I want to mention also, I'm so very grateful for all of you who just kind of stepped up and took what needed to be done and stepped in. And honestly, I'm thankful that my absence gave opportunity and space for others to exercise the gifts that God has put in us for the benefit and the strengthening, the building up of the church. Amen? Amen. Very, very biblical, and I'm very grateful for that. Somebody, usher, sorry, in the midst, please turn off the Klieg lights that are on me right now. Thank you. There we go. We'll get things back together again. I do have a message for you this morning, but it's going to be a little bit different because so many of you have been asking, how are you? How is mom? And you've been asking other things as well. And we have an AGM this morning as well. So it'll be a shorter service because we'll then go to the AGM. So I want to catch you up just a little bit, but this is part of the message as well. And it is a Christmas message today, God with us. While I was in the States, I did prepare, had some beginning thoughts and some messages and some ideas that I was preparing, but none of them were related to Christmas. And it was really in my heart that as we're in this Christmas season, as we're celebrating the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to earth, that in our message, in our worship, and all of these, that our thoughts are pointed towards that. And so I was really praying this week, but as I was talking with Pastor Steve, and he agreed, he said it's hard to kind of get back into the rhythm of things again because I've really been out of it. And as things were going on in the U.S., and those of you who have gone through this recently, you know very well as well, in the grieving process and in the goodbye process, it changes how you look at things, and it kind of changes your thinking as well. And it's hard to get back into things again. But we are going to have, it is a Christmas message this morning as I catch you up as well with some of the things that are going on. So many of you have asked about mom and how she's doing, and she is doing, she's doing well day by day. I'm calling her every single day just to catch up with her, and she's making it. But sometimes it's hard. And those of you that have gone through this similar process, you know that sometimes you are perfectly fine and the sun is shining and the world is great. And at other times, you just cry. And at other times, you just grieve. And you're not being a bad Christian and you haven't lost the victory and God is not far from you, but that's part of it. And that's the way that it is. The Bible does not say you don't grieve. The Bible says we don't grieve as the world grieves. And so mom's going through that as well, but she is making it day by day, and we trust, we believe that the Lord is going to continue with her each day and provide for all of the needs that she has, body and soul and spirit. So many of you have asked also just about Dad, and I've shared a little bit via the board how things were going as Dad was there. And I'll be honest with you, in the time before Dad was gone, it was one of the hardest times of our lives just because of the process. We were so happy that Dad was at home. It was home hospice, and so we were taking care of him at home, which was his desire and our desire as well, but not so easy. And those of you that know Dad as one of the founder of the church and of other churches as well, Dad has many, many gifts and had many, many gifts and qualities, but gentleness and tenderness were not part of his makeup so much. And those of you that know him know that that's true. And maybe some of you say, yeah, I can understand that. And so when I got back to the U.S. on the 30th of September, I'm so grateful God really worked out the timing. Dad was able to talk for one more day while I was home for those 24 hours. Not very much, and it was soft, but he was able to respond. And Mom said in the days before I came, when I finally was able to get a ticket, then she told him, Jennifer's coming. And so Mom said almost every day, when's Jennifer coming? When's Jennifer coming? And so so that day that I was there, he was still able to talk some. And after that very first day, he really couldn't talk very much, but he would motion with his fingers and he'd whisper just a little bit. But the one thing that he could still say with quite a strong voice was this, and he said it several times. He said, I want to go home. And he meant heaven. He didn't mean here, there, or whatever. He meant heaven, and he said it strongly. One of the nights, in the middle of the night, most of the time, my sister and I were taking care of him day and night. And so, you know, the nights were not always easy, but one of the nights, Dad was he was able to talk in the night, and kind of he was talking and he reached out his hand, and so Philip was there at that time, and so my brother Philip, and so he thought, oh, Dad wants, so Philip put his hand out like that to hold Dad's hand, and Dad pushed his hand out of the way like that. And then he said in a loud voice, and his voice had not been loud, he said, get me out of here. And I think he was talking to the Lord, get me out of here. But what we saw, and I think what many of you understand, because the farewells of your loved ones and the deaths of your loved ones are no less important and no less meaningful than the farewell and the death of my father as well. The Bible says that precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints or the death of his children. I'm just sharing with you because so many of you knew Dad and as the founder of the church. But what one of the things that we saw as we went through that with Dad and with us as well is that though we would long for it otherwise, the Lord doesn't always answer our prayers in the way that we want to, does he? But he's still a good God. And he's still a loving God, and he is still a faithful God, and that's something that we saw. And as we're turning to this Christmas message this morning, one of the things that I really realized going through this was that in these hard times and going through the valley and in the times of pressure and stress, it is in those times that we then really prove the truth of what God says in his word. Have you found that to be true? Those of you that have gone through the hard times, you've said, oh, God, what you say in your word is true. It's true. It's not easy, but it's true. And it confirms to our hearts, and it affirms to our hearts that God always keeps his promise, and God keeps his word. That night on October the 15th when Dad passed away, it was well, you all know, as it gets closer and closer to the end, and I won't go into all the details now. I'm happy to at another time, but right after he passed away, right after he left us, about 20 seconds after he left us, suddenly, and our hearts had been so heavy because it was just hard. It was hard for us, and it was hard for Dad. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit whispered a truth, it made truth real to my heart. And I want to encourage you with this because the Bible says that we are encouraged, and with the encouragement that we receive and the comfort that we receive, we comfort and encourage others. That's what the Bible says. And as we stood around at midnight, as we stood around the bed, suddenly the truth came to my heart. Dad is seeing Jesus face to face right now. And it was such, of everything that we went through, of all of the time, that is the most vibrant and vivid, not memory, but the most vivid moment when the Holy Spirit made that truth real to my heart. He's seeing Jesus face to face. And though there have been tears since then, and though there is grief since then, as all of you know, those moments when the Holy Spirit brings truth to our hearts, lift our hearts as well. And so that's just a little bit of catch up, but I want to just mention another thing also as well. I was thinking as we were going through this time with Dad, I was thinking of so many of you, and I was thinking of the board, and I was counting. Do you know on the board within this year, 5 board members have lost a parent. Roughly within this year, I think 5, right? I think that's what I counted. And not only that, as I was thinking of that time, Ida, I was thinking of you and your mom. And Carolyn, I was thinking of Carolyn and her mom as well. And I was thinking of that. And don't worry about tears. You know, tears happen. That's part of it. But can we do something about the popping? Thank you. But what I saw, and the Bible talks about this, is that we go through this, these times that we never want to go through, but it makes our hearts soft. Drink water? Okay. It makes our hearts soft and more tender and more understanding of what others are going through. And so as I was going through that as well, it put more oomph, that's the best way to say it, in my prayers for those of you who are also going through these things as well. And so as we look at this, I want to turn our thoughts this morning. It is a Christmas message, but I'll tell you, if you were to come to my house right now, there are no Christmas decorations up. And there may not be. So that's why I'm so happy to see these Christmas decorations here. I haven't even unpacked my suitcases yet. I'll do that tomorrow. But I do have a Christmas message for us this morning. And so we're going to talk about God with us this morning. And I want to talk about Paul. We're going to start with Paul. This doesn't sound like a Christmas verse, but look with me. Paul is writing to, this is his second letter to the Christians in Corinth. And what I've just shared with you about Dad and what we went through is actually part of this message. And Paul writes to them, and he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it." Let me ask you something. Have you ever felt like that? You go through something and you feel like, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to live through this. Well, Paul said the same thing. And he said, I was going through this. And you say, well, what was he going through? He doesn't tell us here, but I think the Corinthians must have known what he was going through. And if we read the other parts of the book of Acts, we find all sorts of things that he was going through at this time. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten with rods by the Romans twice. He says that a little bit later in 2 Corinthians at various times. We don't know when all of these were took place. The beatings from the Romans from rods had no limit on them, so we don't know how badly he was beaten. But there were times, if we look at Roman history, that people who were beaten with rods died. And so so we don't know what was happening with Paul. Paul in another place says that five times he received 39 lashes from the Jewish leaders as well. So this was part of it as well. So, and then at one point he even says, we battled live beasts at Ephesus. We know that part, right? But remember that Paul was a Roman citizen, so he wasn't put in the Colosseum to fight physical wild beasts, because Roman citizens were not put in to fight wild beasts. That was reserved for those who were not citizens of Rome. So it had to have been a spiritual battle as well. And so when we look at this, this helps us to understand a little bit about what Paul was going through. There were physical things he was going through, but there were mental, emotional, and spiritual things he was going through as well, right? Because sometimes we go through spiritual battles and spiritual difficulties that are just as real, and if not as difficult, maybe more difficult than physical things we go through at times, right? All of us have faced that. And Paul says, I despaired of life. I despaired of life. And then he says, in fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves, and we learned to rely only on God who raises the dead, who raises the dead. So as we look at that, and as we look at what Paul says, this gives weight to what he says in 2 Corinthians. Now, look with me at what he says just a little bit earlier. Hang on just a second. I've got to make, there we go. Okay. My eyes are getting older along with every other part of me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, at the beginning of this, look at what he says. He says, all praise to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. And Paul can say that, and we know that he means it, doesn't he? And he can say that because he has gone through a time of deep trouble and deep distress. I was thinking about this as I was going through and as our family was going through what we did with Dad and some of the things that some of you have gone through. I can understand better, and I can give more real comfort and speak truer words because I have received that comfort also. It doesn't mean that we always get it right. It doesn't mean that we always have all the perfect words. But what it does mean is that as we go through these times that we would never want to go through, that we would choose, God, take it far from me. Comfort comes from the Lord. And not only are we comforted and not only are we strengthened, but then the Lord makes it, beloved brothers and sisters, he makes it a double blessing, because not only do we receive blessing, but then we give that blessing to others. Amen? Amen. Amen. Dad had his first stroke about 3 years ago. And this second major stroke, it was two major strokes, this second major stroke that he had, I looked at the calendar and it surprised all of us because it was almost to the day, it was 3 years from the first stroke to the second stroke, both of them major. And by the so the first stroke was at least half of his body. By the second stroke was the other side as well. So it was really, really difficult. But during that time, and many people came to visit, and they brought strength and comfort and cheer and encouragement, and that's wonderful. But Dad had one visitor, a relative in our family, that brought special encouragement to him during this time, and it was a little bit earlier. And it was my cousin, John, who is the same age I am, who was the same age as I. And John, who lived in the capital city, came down to visit him when he heard that Dad was, what had happened to Dad. He said, I want to go visit my dad, or as he called him, Uncle Brother. That's what Dad was called. I know that's strange, but that was his name in our family. Here's what made John's visit more meaningful than almost any other visitor. John, my age, had about a year and a half earlier, maybe 2 years earlier, been diagnosed with ALS, which is commonly called Lou Gehrig's disease. And what that means is, from the brain and the spine, that they, as they begin to die, and after a while, they stop sending messages to the muscles, all of the voluntary muscles. And there's no cure for it. And it can strike at any time. Those of you that know Stephen Hawking, the famous scientist and whatever, he had also had this same disease. But his, unlike almost everyone, he lived more than 50 years with this. Most people live maybe 3 years, maybe a little bit longer. And so John was my age, and it came on very suddenly, and it was very aggressive and very rapid. And so he was a Christian. And he had a T-shirt made because he spoke, and he loved God, and he used this as an opportunity to share the love of the Lord and the hope that we face in hard times. And John had a T-shirt made, and I can laugh about it because I know John very well. And his T-shirt said, "Be nice to me, I'm dying." And he knew he was, and his wife knew he was, and his younger children knew that he was, and the grandchildren knew that he was as well. And John passed away about 6 months ago or so. His was very rapid, so it was like within about 3 years. But John's visit meant more to Dad than almost any other visit, because John understood what Dad was going through. John knew what it was like. And so he was able to speak not with, "Oh, I'm so sorry," not that, but with vigor and with hope that we have as Christians as we go through these things, because he had gone through it himself. And that brought encouragement. When Paul here talks about encouragement, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. In the letter of 2 Corinthians, 18 times the word comfort or encouragement is used as a verb, 11 times as a noun, and it's the same basic word. It's also the word, the root word that is used for guess who and guess what? The Holy Spirit. So this should strengthen us this morning as we think, as we look at this and as we think about this. And Paul says, we receive comfort. And when we look at this, so in this passage, just in verses 3 through 7, and I'm only, for sake of time, I'm only looking at these two, but in verses 3 through 7, he talks about it 10 times. Let me read something to you. The wonderful Bible teacher, Warren Wiersbe, said, we must not think of comfort in terms of human sympathy, because sympathy can weaken us instead of strengthen us. God does not pat us on the head and give us a piece of candy or a toy to distract our attention from our troubles. No. He puts strength into our hearts so that we can face our trials and triumph over them. And this word comfort, and this word, it's also encouragement. All of this word together has the meaning. Included with it is the idea of strength that comes in. Strength when we need it. The English word for comfort, it actually comes from two other Latin words that mean with strength. With strength. And the Greek word that Paul uses here, because he was a Greek scholar for sure, the Greek word means to come alongside and help. To come alongside and help. So as we look at this, Paul talks about what he went to, and he thought, I wasn't going to make it. I thought I was going to die. But he said, God brought me comfort. And that comfort, let's put it in our terms. God came alongside and helped me. And helped me. So as we look at this, not just that when we go through hard or pressured times, he gives a little help, but he comes alongside and helps us. Not just that God gives us a little gift from heaven, but God himself comes alongside us. It reminds me of Jesus in the boat with the disciples when the storm came up and Jesus was sleeping. And they say, Master, they wake him up because they think they're going to die in this terrible situation. Like Paul, right? Like Paul, he said, I despaired of life. But Jesus was in the boat with his disciples, just as Jesus is with you as you go through these things. And they wake him up and they say, Master, don't you care? Brothers and sisters, is it not true that when we go through really hard times, that we sometimes feel, God, don't you care? Have you ever felt that before? God, don't you care? You could so easily change this. You could so easily make it better. You could so easily shorten the time of what's going on. And he doesn't. He doesn't. Nevertheless, he cares. And he's with us in the boat. He's with us in these times. And Jesus wakes up and he says, peace, be still. And this is what Paul is describing as we look at this. And so as he puts strength into our hearts so that we can go through what we're facing. Most famous psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And we go all through that. All of these wonderful things that he does. Now remember the verse. Remember the passage. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What comes next? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What do? They rod and staff, the Lord himself, because he's holding the rod and the staff. It's not just this little gift from heaven. The rod and the staff that bring us comfort, that bring us strength in our circumstances, are held in the hands of our powerful and loving and caring good shepherd. And they bring us strength, and they see us through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. 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 And so with that in mind, let's look at the next verse. Look with me at the Old Testament, at Isaiah. So he comes alongside to help. That's what it means. The meaning of comfort, it means to come near and to help. This reminds us of one of the most wonderful Christmas verses in the Old Testament. What book in the Old Testament has more about the coming of Jesus than any other book? The prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah writes, in prophecy, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him what? Emmanuel, which means God is with us, or God with us. And then we come all the way to the New Testament. And this is when Joseph is thinking about divorcing Mary because he's found out she's pregnant. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit." Side note that has nothing to do with Christmas. Way back when mom and dad were in Bible school, some of you have heard this before, haven't you? But a lot of you haven't. When mom and dad were in Bible school and the Lord was leading them and speaking to them about who their future partner would be, and God spoke to dad first and then he spoke to mom after that, my dad, who was very serious and very, very serious, looked at mom and he thought, "I don't know about this. Not very serious, not very whatever." And the Holy Spirit spoke to dad and said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife," because you know Mary is mom's name. And so, no joke, true story. You can ask mom if you want to. But now don't go looking for things in the Bible and applying them to your life, right? You let the Holy Spirit take his word and make it real to your heart. That's the way you stay safe, okay? And so when the Holy Spirit spoke that to dad, then dad's heart was at peace. It's like, okay, I won't be afraid. I will not be afraid to take Mary as my wife. So that's an aside. That's not part of the Christmas story. And then verse 21. "And she will have a son, and you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So first of all, he's called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And then Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. But then look with me, what comes right after that? "All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. The virgin will conceive a child. She will give a birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. You see, brothers and sisters, only God with us can be the God who saves us from our sins. That's the only way that's possible. Names are important to God. You may not have realized this before. So here's the name, his name. So the angel says, you're going to call him Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. Jesus is Greek or Hebrew, those of us that have studied a little bit. Jesus is Greek. That's a Greek name, okay? What is the Hebrew name for Jesus? Joshua. That's the Hebrew name. What does the word Joshua, what does the name Joshua mean? The Lord saves. The Lord saves. What does the name Isaiah mean? Old Testament, where this prophecy first came. What does the name Isaiah mean? The Lord saves. The Lord saves. So Isaiah, the Lord saves. Jesus, Joshua, the Lord saves. Names are important to the Lord. And as we look at this and as we think, only God with us can save us from our sins. And as we go through this Christmas season, I want us to be comforted. I want us to be strengthened. I want us to experience the presence of the Lord as he comes alongside us and helps us through these things, not just this Christmas season, but through all of the things that we face in this upcoming year, because 2022 is just around the corner, isn't it? It's just around the corner. And the promise of Emmanuel is the same, and the promise of Jesus is the same. And we need to remember this as we go through these times that are not easy for us. We need to remember this when you battle depression. You need to remember this when you battle fear. You need to remember this when you have lost your temper at your spouse and are so I'm single, so, you know, I get mad at my cat sometimes. When we go through these times, you see, we think God's with me when I'm good. God's with me when I'm doing right. God's with me when I'm faithful. God's with me when I've been reading my Bible and praying as I should. God said, no, that's not it at all. God says, I'm Emmanuel. I'm with you all the time. I'm with you when things are going well, and I'm with you when you have blown it so badly, and when you want to give up, God says, I'm Emmanuel, and I am with you. And because I'm Emmanuel, and because I'm with you, I can save you from your sins. Never forget the powerful symbolism of the physical circumstances of Jesus coming to earth, not by chance, but by choice. Yeah? Not by chance, but by choice. He came as a Jew, an oppressed and subject people under harsh Roman rule. He came to the family of Joseph and Mary, a family so poor they could only afford two doves as a gift on the eighth day for the birth of their firstborn son. Not to Matilda Maternity Ward. Woo, the fanciest place. I don't know if you've ever visited Matilda Hospital before. I visited several times. I'll tell you what, I want to live at Matilda. It's nice. He wasn't born at Matilda Maternity Ward, but he was born in a squalid, dirty stable by God's choice, by God's design. And he was born in these because he is God with us, because he's God with us, because he's Emmanuel. I want us to close this morning with, because I'm going to cut off these other verses that I was thinking about, with what is a wonderful Christmas verse, and it's one of my favorites as we come to a close this morning. So we'll call him Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. Emmanuel, which means God with us. And John, the disciple closest to Jesus of all of them, the beloved disciple, wrote in his gospel, look with me, verse 14, the first part of verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, made his home among us, took up residence with us. And brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this Christmas season, as we think about the year to come, the Word has become flesh and he's made his home with you. And the things that you go through and the sorrow that you feel and the struggles that you have, Jesus understands because he went through these things also. You do not have someone who does not understand what you struggle with, the sorrow that you feel, the temptations that you face. But you have one who says, I have been through that as well, and I am with you, and I will comfort you in every circumstance, in every situation. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you this morning as we close. Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you that you became flesh and you dwelled among us. We thank you, oh God, that you spoke from heaven through Isaiah and you said, call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Only in this way could you truly comfort and strengthen us. Only in this way could you save us from our sins. And we are so grateful. God, I pray that as we go through this season, each one of us, and Lord, especially those that still have hearts of sorrow as we consider losses and as we consider goodbyes and farewells, I pray your comfort and your strength upon us and in our hearts and in the things that we face in this year ahead. We rejoice in you and we thank you for being God with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen.